Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome once again to Violet Reiki Radio. I'm your host, Rose Jimenez. I am a Reiki master teacher and Shihan in Western Reiki as well as Eastern Reiki, as I am a Shihan of Komyo Reiki Kai. I also have just become, last month or 2 months ago, I am a medical Reiki master, which means I am certified and authorized to do Reiki in hospital operating rooms, thanks to Raven Keys. I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this opportunity to bring to you this show every Thursday here on Blog Talk Radio, and to bring to the public information concerning Reiki, all things Reiki, about Reiki, its discovery, the roots, all things surrounding Reiki, Reiki practice, more, and things about the founder of Reiki, Mikao Usui, many things and topics in his life that made him who he was and were very contributory in the finding of Reiki. So, as some of you know, some of you don't, Reiki is universal life force energy. It is an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. The Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and personal and spiritual development. If you want more information on Reiki, I invite you to check out my website, which is violetroserreiki.com. And you can email me if you want more information on Reiki, or if you even if you have questions, whatever, you can email me at rose@violetrosereiki.com, and I will give you an answer. No question is, quote, stupid. A lot of times in my classes, I will have someone raised their hand and say, I have a stupid question. And I'm like, no, there's no such thing as a stupid question. It's, you know, would be stupid not to ask a question, but I will answer any emails or any questions you have. I think education is power. So we all need to seek more and more education. You can also find me on Facebook under Violet Rose or Violet Rose Reiki. I'm really not sure what they, you know, they keep changing things around. You can also find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google Plus, most social media. Also on Facebook, I have a page which is called Reiki Ward. And Reiki Ward was formed over 3 years ago with the ideal to provide distance Reiki healing for free for humans and animals all over the world. Reiki Ward is global. It's just like any other Reiki, any other page on Facebook, easily accessible on Facebook. All you have to do is go there, and you would post on it the same way in which you would post on the wall of a friend or any other page. Just put up your Reiki healing request. It could be for yourself. It could be for a family member. It could be for your pet or for a friend, you know, for a friend or a friend's pet or whatever. We do it all on Reiki Ward. Humans, animals, you name it, we do it. Reiki Ward does 2 to 3 rounds of healing every day, generally. Some days more, some days, you know, maybe two. But always we're doing rounds of Reiki throughout the day. And we place your requests as they come in. We place your requests on our crystal grid so that the requests receive 24/7 energy work and healing. Not to mention we have about 300 or 400 Reiki practitioners who very generously and happily give us their time. When they see the requests come in, or rather the requests come in and the admins over at Reiki Ward, we read them, we start to do Reiki, and we then post the request on the wall so that any of the practitioners who are helping us out, you know, Reiki practitioners, can see the request as they come in, and then they know, get on that request and do what you can do, and if you're helping us out, we love it. And big shout out to all of the people who help us there every day. And usually we like for those who are helping us to make a comment, sending or will send or Reiki sent, something like that, so that the comment gives the person who put in the request the idea or the information that it is being worked on, because we're very compassionate over at Reiki Ward and we want everyone to be at peace, and we want everyone to not worry and not be concerned. Are they working on it? Are they not working on it? Did they see my post? What are they doing? So we'd like for the practitioners participating and helping us to put a comment in the comment box sent when they look at a post for healing, so that the person who put it there knows that it is indeed being worked on. After all, everybody's not psychic. So that's what we have, and that's what we are about. And the call-in number to call here in the studio tonight to speak with me or my guest, Tracy Lee, of Zetaline Healing, call this number, 347-677-0699, and we are here. I'm going to take a short little break, and then we will be right back with Tracy.
You're listening to Violet Reiki Radio on the Seika Network through blogtalkradio.com with your host, Reiki Shihan Rose Jimenez, your source for all things Reiki, in love, light, and healing.
Okay, I think I'm back. We had a little glitch there at the end. Tomorrow Mercury goes direct. I can't wait. All right. My guest, Tracy of Deadline Healing, is dedicated to improving physical, emotional, and spiritual lives of others by providing holistic alternatives to traditional medicine or medical practices. She applies holistic methods to provide, my mind is gone, my mouth is gone, I'm sorry, to provide effective and long-term alternatives to traditional medical practices for people and pets. She works with any condition, including cancer, terminal illness, and orthopedic injuries. And some of her services are no-touch massage, nerve repair, pain management, anxiety, stress management, viral and bacterial treatments, spiritual cleansing, etc. There's more. So she does consultations by phone, text, or Skype. She does intuitive health scans and readings and holistic advice. If you'd like to look at her website, it is www.zetalignhealing.com. That's Z for zebra, E T for Thomas, A L I N for Nancy, E healing.com. So take a look at her website. And I know she's on Twitter because that's where I found her. And when she comes on in a second, I'll have her give you the phone number and we will get underway and have a chat with Tracy. So let's see. Tracy, is this you?
This is me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome.
I hope everybody can hear me because I don't know what happened with that little break song. I didn't hear the end of it. So I'm going to put out some feelers and make sure I'm being heard. So
I will do the same thing. Make sure there's no interference with our
yeah.
line.
Let's see. Is the show being heard? Somebody answer me back out there in Facebook land. See what happens. But just give out your phone number, and we'll have you give it out again because I gave out your website. But what is the phone number people should contact you at?
Sure, guys. To get in touch with me, you dial 512-900, which is 900, and then 5818. So one more time, it's 512-900-5818.
Great.
And just like you, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Google+, I'm on Facebook. You know, if you can remember Zetaline Healing, Zetaline Healing, you can find me. I'm everywhere.
And now that we mentioned Zetaline Healing, where did the name come from?
Yes, everybody wants to know where the name came from. When I started doing this, a good friend of mine, he said, everybody's going to think you're associated with the Zeta Reptilian Extraterrestrial Group. And I said, I don't care. Because the way I got this name was through spirit. I was doing a lot of channeling work each night, probably, I guess, 8 or 9 months ago. And I kept on just writing down the word Zetaline, 7-4, Zetaline, Zetaline. And I kept on thinking to myself, what in the world does this mean? And then after a while, I figured out that it was the name that the spirit entities that I work with would refer to me as. And then I received validation several months later when I read an article that says, what is the Zeta energy? And of course, a lot of people know about Theta healing and all of this, but I'd never really heard of Zeta healing until, like I said, I came across this article on the web, and it talks about using the body's negative energy and using it as a healing force, which kind of makes a lot of sense to me, kind of considering the background and the things that I've gone through in my life. So it really was just a great validation to come across that. But yeah, it's a strange name, but it is what it is.
It is, but I got to tell you, I love your logo. When I saw your logo, I was like, I love this, because it reminded me of the Caduceus.
Right.
And,
it's a cool logo, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So
Thank you. You
do everything, I think. We do a lot. There's a lot of healing work that you do.
I do. And so it's funny that this is my first guest appearance on a show specifically about Reiki. Usually it's about different paranormal issues and more broad topics. But I'm happy to come on here tonight because the very first healing experience I ever had personally was back in, I think it was 2011, when a close friend of mine named Jesse, I'll give him credit on the air in case he listens at a later point, did a Reiki session on me. And It was after a shoulder surgery, and I experienced a great amount of relief and reduction in pain, and just a lot of things started happening after my very first Reiki session. So I full-heartedly believe that he set in motion this, Jesse did, by this first Reiki session, this process of awakening and the process by which I came to be a healer and to discover all these wonderful gifts that I have to help others. So I'm always happy to come on and talk about Reiki or whatever it is that your guests are interested in.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, I always say there are two distinctions. Reiki is energy healing. And it's a great thing. And, you know, Reiki's Reiki. There's nothing else that's exactly like it. However, energy healing, there's a lot of energy healing. But energy healing is not necessarily Reiki, which doesn't mean energy healing is not good. It's just a different form. So I think all energy healing is great. And I'm really happy that they're finally starting to give energy healing its dues and accept it. And little by little, it's getting into mainstream medicine. And really, like I said, it's about time because it does work. You know it works. I know it works.
And let me interrupt by saying that the proof is in the pudding. When you've got people that are, I mean, I change people's blood labs and their blood work. You know, when we go to the doctor and we check the thyroid levels, the adrenal levels, the glucose and whatnot, and then I've worked with the client for several weeks and they go back and the blood work has literally changed. And the only thing that's changed is the work that they've done with myself. Yeah, I mean, you know, once there's more people like myself out there that are they're changing people's health for the better and people are experiencing healing without taking drugs and having operations and you know, using all these nasty pharmaceuticals and to some extent less chemotherapy, hopefully that will evolve more in the years to come. Of course it's going to gain traction and notoriety because, it, like you said, it works.
Yeah, the only problem that has us lagging and dragging, I feel, on getting it out there to the public is there are so many different things in place and they demand studies and proof and, you know, whoever the medical powers that be are out there. In order to use a therapy or have it be accepted, they need to track it. In other words, they do these studies where there's a placebo and then there's the actual energy healing and they bring people in and they do these comparisons. And there's, according from the last time I was talking about this with anyone, there's not enough yet. And I don't know what they want or whatever, but... because, like I said, I know there are studies out there, and why there are not many more, I don't know. Although someone that I had on my show, and she was also a presenter at the New York City Reiki conference that was held in 2012. I think her name is Gloria Gronowitz. And she did a study that actually showed, but this was a while back, that certain things that were in a I forgot what it was. They did a study doing something with she did a 3-year study, and it showed that test tube cells grew better when people trained in Reiki passed their hands over the containers of these cells. And this was there was an article on the New Haven Independent that gives the whole story about it. But she said, you know, she did the study, she saw it, but they needed more work. And that was a very expensive study. And there's just not enough funds. Yeah, her name is Gloria Gronowitz.
Let me say one thing there too. There's a lot of factors that go into what the public has said. You know, the main thing being money, like you said. You know, if information is fed to the public that it's more effective to receive energy healing and holistic treatments and Reiki and whatever it is that myself and others in the industry do, you know, that health insurance and doctors, medical school and student loans and the money that the U.S. government makes from all this, you know, that's all a business. You know, everything is a business. So, you know, the business of cancer and chemotherapy and all of these treatments and pharmaceutical companies is a multi-billion dollar business. That's a huge part of the American and global economy. So this is not an easy task that we're facing.
Facing
serious political issues. And there's holistic practitioners, I believe 51 in the United States over the last 10 months that have mysteriously died as well.
Yes, that is crazy, because I had posted that in one of my groups that there is no way that can be a coincidence. No way.
Oh, no. No, there's no coincidences in this universe. Everything happens for a reason. Right. People need to make their own decisions and know that they do have alternatives when the doctor says that, you know, you have to take this or, you know, you have to have this chemotherapy or you have 6 months to live. There are alternatives, and it's great that people like yourself are making these broadcasts available and to spread the word and to help people realize that, hey, you know, there's other alternatives besides just going to a doctor and using your medical insurance. So
I think
you as well.
I thank you. I think that acupuncture is covered by insurance. You see, I keep getting asked by my clients, do you take insurance? And unfortunately, I can't. You know, we can't take insurance yet, but I think acupuncture is on the list. And I don't know, I think maybe massage as well. But it's an uphill climb, but we're doing it. We're climbing up the hill.
Right, we are. And personally, even if, if somebody came to me and said, hey, we'd like to like offer you on our list of, insurance, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield said we'd like to offer you as an in-network provider, I'd say, the hell you will offer me as an in-network provider. There's no way that I would associate with any of those businesses knowing what their practices are. You know, this is our fight, and this is our message. And we're here to help people. We're not here to take them or break their bank accounts and use them and deceive them. We're here to heal and heal the world and heal people one case at a time. And whatever I can do, like I said, to help people, that's my purpose here. And my purpose is also to show people what it means to be free and to live a free life, you know. And part of that, you know, is free from the medical system and insurance and pharmaceuticals and whatnot. So anyway,
yeah,
another subject altogether.
I have a couple of doctor friends who do not take insurance because they have seen what insurance does and how unjust it is, and they just decided, no, I'm not doing it. And they wind up getting the short end of the stick. And, you know, it's one thing that you don't get what you actually do charge for a service, but when you don't get, you know, at least a portion of what is due you, you know, and you're getting like $20 per patient, and then your patients are getting screwed on the other side of it, and the whole thing is just not good. The whole situation is, as they say, no bueno. Then you don't want to take part in it because you're not getting appreciated, and your patients aren't getting treated, and the whole thing is just a mess. So these guys have opted out of, they don't take insurance anymore.
Good for them. And you know, people ask a lot of times, you know, they say, well, you're given a gift from God and from the universe. You know, how do you justify charging for it? And I say, well, you know, I do take pro bono cases, and I allot 20 hours per week of pro bono healing work for severe cases that I take on that I believe, you know, these people really need it, and I know that they can heal and they won't be able to afford it otherwise. But, you know, if people can afford to pay, and usually, you know, I charge less than what a doctor charges. So I'm like everybody else. I have, you know, a house and rent and bills and a pet and, you know, food I have to pay for as well. So, you know, the more time I can dedicate to healing people, the more people that are going to be better. So,
But you know, I have to interrupt here because this is really so important. It bugs me how people are like that, you know. Well, why do you charge? People don't, and we're talking about energy here, okay? People don't understand. If you constantly put energy out and put energy out and put energy out, and let's say money, if you constantly put money out, or if you constantly put out the value of money, well, energy exchange and what we all should be striving for is balance, which is why I love Reiki, because it's balance. But we need to have that balance in our lives. If you keep putting out and putting out, nothing is going to come back to to you. It's like the oceans. The ocean goes out, the tide goes out, and then it comes back because Mother Earth is in perfect balance on her own without us humans messing things up. But I mean, just the rising of the sun and the moon and the oceans going in and out, the seasons, that's perfect balance. So all it is balance. Don't make it about, you know, well, you should do it for nothing. No one should do anything for nothing, or no one should be doing anything that is either all positive or all negative, because there's no balance. And
that's
it's
so funny.
True.
Balance. Yeah, you're right. I couldn't agree with you anymore. You know, energy exchange, a balanced energy exchange is very key to maintaining, you know, a fruitful life, you know, for anybody, not just for us as practitioners,
exactly.
But for people.
For everybody, exactly, because the same thing with the healers. You know, most healers are running around doing for people, taking care of people, and all of a sudden they're pooped out or they get sick because why? Well, you were constantly giving out of energy and constantly giving from yourself, and you can't do that. You have to stop, take time for you. Just like they say when you're on an airplane, you know, if anything happens in the cabin, the mask drops down. Put your mask on first. And a lot of people think, oh, no, let me take care of my neighbor. That's not the way it works. And it's all part of this new energy, though, too, because people are learning it's okay to take care of yourself. I think years ago we were taught, oh, no, you want to do something for yourself, or you're putting yourself first, you're selfish. Not always the case. It depends on why you're putting yourself first.
I agree. A really good friend of mine told me, I don't like to use the word mentor anymore because I've come across so many people who call themselves mentors, but all they do is try to brainwash you and control you. So I don't use the word mentor anymore. But a good friend of mine recently told me, because I asked her if it was bad that if I made money or that, you know, I was excited to make extra money. And she said, no, she told me that. She said, greed is when you have something that's of value that you can share with others, but you make a active choice not to. So she said, you know, she said, Tracy, you don't have a greedy bone in your body because you spend every waking moment helping other people. Made me feel a little better, but I think that's a good thing for people to listen, you know, people to kind of internalize as well. You know, greed is hoarding on to anything, whatever it may be, that you have that may be able to be of service to others, but you can't, or you don't choose not to. So that helped a lot. Maybe
right.
That helps somebody else too.
Yeah, my uncle used to always say, don't get greedy. Like, you know, if you want to take something or whatever, you know, just don't take it all, you know, leave for others and you know, make whatever you've got. If you've got something and an overabundance, by all means, share it.
And, yes, and be grateful. It all starts with being grateful for what you have, because if you're not grateful for what the beautiful world is giving you, then there's no reason that it will give you more. You know, you have to learn to work from where you are and put one foot in front of the other, and with gratitude, abundance will find you.
Well, that's another form of greed. if you're not satisfied with what you have, but you want more, 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 why? You don't know how to appreciate, you're not grateful for what you have. Why would you even think that the universe is going to give you more? It's just, got to get rid of that old mentality, you know?
It's funny. I was talking to someone that I was trying to help that had found me via the internet, and he was just so, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I had to stop and say, look, do you have a roof over your head yet? Do you have internet connection? You're talking to me via a cell phone. You have food. Are you starving? You know, but he wanted this. He wants a girlfriend. He wants a larger television. You know, all of this stuff. I said, if you don't appreciate, you know, the television that you have, then I guarantee you the one that you have right now, it's going to break, and then you're going to be sorry that you didn't appreciate it. And lo and behold, a few days later, that TV broke. and he says, Tracy, you're right. I should have appreciated the TV. Now I don't have money for another one, and now I wish I just had the old one back. So,
wow.
You know, the energy will keep on at us, and you know, teaching us life lessons until we get it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm, you know, I keep I do counseling. I do intuitive counseling for people as well, and psychic readings. And I don't know what it is, but goes to show you that the old paradigm just wasn't working. And I get people, and it's all about I want this, and I want that. And I'll say, you can want all you like, but the bottom line is the universe gives you what you need. And it's not about what you want and how you want it and what you and your ego think you deserve. It's about what you're supposed to have at the time you're supposed to have it. So if you can just surrender to that, you'll be in a much better place. But I don't know. We are so ego-driven, and I think I sound like commercialism, which I kind of do, but we've been so brainwashed all our lives. You know, you want it, go out and get it. Well, if it's not for you, I don't care where you go out and how you try and get it, you're not going to get it. But nobody's told us that until recently.
And well, and some people don't like hearing it. You know, I just had this same conversation with another friend earlier. You know, earlier today about people asking, you know, for psychic readings. And that's why on my page I advertise intuitive counseling, not psychic reading, because people say, "Who am I and what should I do?" I said, "I don't know. Who are you? You know, what do you want to do?" You know, I can read somebody's energy and tell them the places where you know, they're not putting out the right energy or bringing in the right energy and point people in the right direction. But I refuse to tell people, you know, this is what you should do. Because here's what happens, that people call and they ask a psychic, for example, am I going to get this job? And the psychic says, oh, yeah, you're going to get the job. And then, you know, the person gets off the phone and they're super excited. Oh, my gosh, the psychic said I'm going to get the job. And then 2 weeks later, guess what happens? They don't get the job. They call the psychic back. You said I'd get this job and I didn't get. And then here's what the psychic says. The psychic says, oh, well, the energy around the situation has changed. Don't blame me. Blame yourself. And I've seen this happen over and over with so many different with psychics, and they fall back on this, oh, the energy has changed. Well, yeah, because that's true. Energy changes all the time. So my philosophy is to help people look within themselves, help people empower themselves to balance their energy, and that's why Reiki is such a wonderful part of that. If you have balanced energy, it's easier to be introspective and to figure out what is the right thing to do, and to have your instincts and your own personal intuition in balance is a lot better than having to be addicted to calling and asking someone else what to do every time you're stuck.
Well, yes, because I've got to say, and I've been a psychic for a very long time, and this is an ability I have since birth, but I try and tell people, whatever I tell you right now today, I will guarantee you, it's not really going to change for about 6 months or so, because that's about, you know, the feel that we can get, you know, and they don't get it. And then what happens is, the less they have confidence in themselves, and the less balanced they are, the more they become psychic, what I call psychic codependent. And it's like every day they're calling the psychic back and saying, well, what about this? And these really are people who can't make up their own minds, who need guidance 24/7. And, you know, I just won't take calls from those people anymore. I'll say, look, you know, I really can't do this. And I'm not one of those people who I'm here to take your money. And just, you got to get a grip, you know, whatever. But you can't call every single day. And there's so many psychics, you know.
Right. And people become, you know, it even can become an addiction sometimes where, you know, they can't tie their shoes without, you know, asking the psychic, you know, should I tie the left one first or the right one? And really, it's not about some of these psychics. I've talked to people who have paid psychics $10,000, $12,000 and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It's sad, and that's the challenge we face as honest practitioners who care about people is that, you know, there's people out there, obviously, you know, like good cops, bad cops. So,
right. Yeah.
We work with that as well.
It's sad, because I even had people tell me, oh, well, the other psychic I spoke to said this, and I'll say, well, I can't tell you why they said that or whatever, but I'm telling you, if they said yes, my guides are telling me no, and I stick by with what my guides tell me, and you make the decision, you know? I can't help
yes.
them.
Because yeah, people, a lot people of need these, to learn. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot, like you just said before, a lot of these so-called psychics on these phone lines and internet websites, you're going to get honest there. Am I going to find Mr. Wright? When is it happening? And they're going to say, oh, yes, he's coming in like 6 months, because they know that the amount of time this person has to leave them a rating or whatever is usually, I think these sites, they have like 2 to 3 months. And then after that, the person, you know, doesn't matter because the person can't come back and leave that psychic a bad rating. So they've made
right.
their money. They've painted the world with nice rosy paintbrush and stuck the glasses on you. And it's like, okay. And after that, they don't care. And that person will keep calling them back before the 3 months is over, because you know, a lot of times they want to hear, oh yes, 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 it's happening for maybe a week, and you keep them on the phone, and it's just not good. It's not good at all.
I just got one burning question for you then. Mm. When is my Mr. Right coming? I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm telling you.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I want to enjoy my life and live it as it is. I'm good.
Well, you know what? I keep telling more and more people, because, I mean, this has already happened to me twice in my life. When you're at the moment where you don't care if and when and who is coming, that's when they're going to come.
That's so true.
You have to be at that point in your life. And it's almost like the universe is trying to help us. Because the more desperate you get, there's no way for the universe to bring in Mr. or Ms. Right, because you're desperate, which means you don't love yourself enough. So
right.
instead of loving ourselves more, most people, what they're doing is they're running with a box of Band-Aids, and it's like, okay, I want to try this one and see if this heals this gaping wound that really needs stitches and self-love. But they're going to put that Band-Aid on, and it doesn't work because you're not ready. And sadly, most people don't want to hear that.
Yes. Yeah. You and I could probably brew up a storm if we got together in person, it sounds like, because I'm definitely a believer in the tough love and the truth and honesty. And, you know, some people aren't ready for it, but, you know, the quicker that people learn, you know, and accept the truth, and then they really start loving themselves and putting themselves first. You know, if you can't truly love yourself, then, you know, you're really not in a place to love somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly. Because if you don't love yourself, that says, I don't really know what love is. So why would you want to get involved with some other poor soul and mess them up? Because plenty of us have gotten involved with people, either have married them or been in a committed relationship with them, been in their lives not knowing ourselves what love is, and then all hell breaks loose, and there's damage done, and there's hurt, and there's wounding. Why would you want to do that? You know, when you get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, needy people also attract each other, and they find each other. And so,
right.
You know, if people can graduate from a state of, I need somebody because, you know, I can't afford myself, or I can't stand being alone, or I can't stand my own company, those people gravitate towards each other. And, you know, if you're in that state of mind, you don't want to find another person just like you. So, you know, what people need to learn to do is to raise their vibration and their frequencies and, you know, by self-love and by deep introspection and self-therapy even, and by presenting the best version of yourself possible to the universe and to the world. And it's at that time when your best self is out that you'll attract your optimal mate, I believe.
But not
when you're in bad condition. It's not going to happen.
No, and if you try and tell these people, they don't want to hear it. They just, you know, it's like the wall comes down, the window gets shut. And you're saying this for their own good. I mean, I've seen people run from relationship to relationship to relationship and commit the same errors in every single relationship and then wonder why they're alone and wonder why they can't find love. And
you've got to learn to love being alone. I tell you, it's a hard lesson that everybody has to go through and to learn, including myself. I tell you what, I love my own company so much. I love being alone in my house. I love being alone in my car. I mean, I never feel lonely. And sometimes when there's other people around, I'm like, shh, get from my space, because I love me, you know?
Yeah,
me is awesome. And that's where people need to learn to feel is, hey, I'm awesome. I'm the bomb. And to be in my company, like, you know what I mean? I'm going to be picky who my friends are. I'm going to be picky who my mate is, because I deserve the very, very best that life has to offer and that love has to offer. And that's how people have to learn to be, you know? It takes some work, but it's possible.
You have to get in that space. Yeah, you have to get in that space. Otherwise, it's just not going to come. And I don't know about you, but I always tell people, you got to go 6 months without anyone. No desire, no, you know, is he mine? Or I'm talking about romantic. Go 6 months alone with no prospective partner in your life. 6 months alone, you with you. When you can do that and you are comfortable with that, and that desperate need for a partner or a companion disappears, then you're ready to go out and with the vibration of I love myself, because that's kind of like, you know, putting out bird seed for the birds. You know, if the birds see that seed is there, then they're going to come and eat. Same thing with that vibration. If the vibration of I love myself, I am the best, I'm the bomb, like you said, that attracts people to you. So if you're there, then you're okay. If you're still, when is he coming? When is she coming? I want. Forget about it. You might as well start knitting an afghan, because it's not going to happen soon. And people don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear. It's like, don't walk into the wall. You'll get hurt. The next thing you hear is bump.
Bump.
I tell you. To hang around to pick up the pieces, because you just know they're not going to listen to you. And I have watched people bang into that wall 100 times or more. And it's like, okay, well, because again, you know, like I do, they'll get it when they get it.
Well, I got to admit, I was one of those people for a while, and I banged into it. I mean, I was, I can tell, you know, I talk openly about the fact that I was married to a polygamous sociopath for 12 years. But removing yourself from an abusive situation and having the courage to change your life and remove yourself spiritually and physically and just separate yourself from everything that happened and just start over. It's hard and it takes courage and bravery, but you know, if there's any women listening out here, now that we're talking about love and self-respect and all this, you know, take that. There are ways to get out. You know, people will come up with a million excuses, but there is a way out. There is always a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. So help me God. And, you know, abundance and health in any way, we'll never find those who willingly subject themselves to abuse. You know, the best way to attract abundance of health and love and spirituality is to show enough love and self-respect for yourself to remove yourself from a bad situation. So there's my soapbox.
That's where it starts. You know, if you love yourself, you will not let anyone abuse you, take advantage of you, do negative, bad, horrible things to you. You just won't allow it. And that's another thing. When you get to that point where you won't allow it, then you're in a good space. And that's where we all should strive to be. You know, I will be respected because I respect myself, and I will, you know, not take any negative, unhealthy, bad crap from anyone, because that's my boundary. I won't take it because I love myself.
Right, and boundaries are so important, and people need to know that, you know, abuse does not get better. It only gets worse. It does not get better. It will only get better when it hits rock bottom, and the universe will force you out of the situation. And most people don't want to get to that point. It's so much better to just pick up your stuff and leave and start over. But you know, the universe will eventually dictate what is supposed to be. But it doesn't get better, people. It does not. And making excuses for the person or for yourself, or assigning blame to another person, or, you know, for the abuse, a third party. You know, these are all common things that happen. But it's, you know, really what it is. It's about self-love and self-respect. So.
Right. Because, you know, somebody said once about boundaries. Well, how could you do that if you love that person? And I said, loving a person has nothing to do with the boundaries I've set. I love this person. But this is where it stops. You know, if they have a problem where they don't know how to treat someone, or they don't love themselves, therefore they really can't love another, or if they don't know how to respect themselves, so they don't know how to respect another, I understand that we're all, you know, at different levels, but my boundary is my boundary. And if you can't respect me or whatever, that's okay. I'm not going to try and change you. But this is how far you've come. I still love you, but this is where your BS stops with me. See,
absolutely.
People sometimes, they're afraid to put up boundaries because they're thinking, well, if I put up this boundary, it's putting up a wall and I'll love that person. No, but I think we all have to kind of remember in the back of our minds that because we have our own personal love and respect for self, then you have to put up boundaries so that no one crosses that and treats us the way we know we don't want to be treated and we know we shouldn't be treated. Yeah, it has nothing to do with love or not love. Yeah,
I agree. I think it's also important, you know, when people find their way out of these situations, that they do take the time to heal the trauma and to acknowledge that, you know, injury has taken place and to heal the wounds that have, you know, that they've endured over the years. And like you said, so that they don't make the same mistakes over and over and over, because, you know, we're talking about spirituality and Reiki and healing here. What happens is this energy from these abusive people, they make energetic attachments to these people. And so unless they can heal the wounds and then make clean breaks with these attachments, you know, they'll drag this stale negativism along with them, you know, for the rest of their life if they don't address it, and will keep making the same mistakes over and over. So, you know, addressing these energies on the physical realm is important, but also it's important to address them in the spiritual realm and break these energetic attachments to people, some people we've been attached to for multiple lifetimes, you know, and that cord just needs to be cut. So.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, we're speaking about energy here. It's funny how people don't realize that when they get involved with somebody, and it's on different levels, but when you interact with a person, your energy, there is an energetic connection. And people just don't realize that, and especially on the sexual level. They just don't get it. Once you have sex with a person, you're kind of like, I don't want to say glued together for life, but you have that energetic connection that then is very difficult to change, move, get rid of, kind of.
It's very true, and that's part of the reason why, you know, I don't like a lot of strangers in my house, and people ask, you know, why don't you, you know, get out more and date more? Well, you know, you have to be careful who you mix energies with. You know, some of this stuff may not be physically contagious, but some of it is spiritually contagious, and, you know, you don't just want to go mixing up your energy fields with random people, you know. People
exactly, and too many people, they don't get it. They just don't get it.
Well, you know, they will. People do get it though when they come for help and they say, hey, you know, help me cut these cords. And it's a very intricate process sometimes of healing the wound and cutting each cord and dealing with each, you know, traumatic energetic connection with people, you know, one at a time, hour by hour, day by day. But then people have reported, and I have many clients who have done this with, that they feel so much lighter after we do these cord cutting sessions, and they're able to, you know, emotionally detach from these people. And, you know, after they cut the energetic cords, they're able to say, hey, you know, this happened to me today that reminded me of this person, but it didn't affect me the way that it used to. So, you know, like you said, that they're doing studies on the at the cellular level, you know, on the emotional level and on the way that the brain works. You know, energy healing and Reiki also affects the way, you know, the brain is wired. We also work with mental pathing and triggers as well. So it's not just physical.
No, it's not. It's not. And people just take it a little bit too lightly. And then wonder, why is my life all messed up? You know? Let me take a break here and we'll be right back.
All right, I'll be here.
Okay. Let me see if this will work.
You're listening to Violet Reiki Radio on the Seika Network through blogtalkradio.com with your host, Reiki Shihan Rose Jimenez, your source for all things Reiki in love, light, and healing.
Okie dokie, I'm back. If people do that with me too, because I practice Reiki, I do the Reiki and readings out of my home. People will say to me, wow, can I just like sit here? Can I come by and just like sit here for a half an hour every so often? Because the vibration in here is great. I feel so calm. I feel so peaceful. And it's like between the clients, I mean, I clean before and after each client. I'm staging, I'm incensing, I'm clear what I'm doing. And the same thing with myself, because I'm in it, you know, you're in the energy. I take very good care of myself. I'm always cleaning myself, my aura, and you know, my energy field. So, yeah, most people don't do what we do on a daily basis because they're not so, you know, we're still not there with people being attuned to energetic needs, I guess.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I really do believe that slowly, like we said at the beginning of the show, a shift is happening. And even over the last several weeks on Facebook, I've seen a lot of different people posting, pictures of the sky and the clouds and different things, that, you know, formations that they're seeing in the sky, you know, whether it's like a face or an angelic imprint or, you know, a chemtrail or, a reflection of the sun. And people are just starting to be more aware of stuff that's going on around them. So I really, even my mother, who is 66 years old, I think she's having a very late but slow awakening. And it's, you know, it does my heart well to see these things, that people are, people are starting to pay more attention to positivity and energy. And I think eventually, you know, it may not happen with a big boom like some people prophesize that it will, but slowly, the spiritual world is making its way into our daily lives.
Yeah, and it feels slowly, but, you know, another thing I'm noticing is that everything around us seems to have been picking up speed. And I think possibly when we get into 2016, it's going to be like a ball rolling down the mountain. I think when it picks up a little bit more, we're really going to pick up and run away with it. And we're going to see more enlightenment, more awakening, more evolving. I just feel that it's on the way.
I hope you're right. And I know that, you know, a lot of people have prophesized a lot of different things. Some things are, you know, totally positive and wonderful and hopeful. And then some things, you know, along the lines of apocalyptic prophecies and the end of the world and asteroids and solar flares and the New World Order and all this stuff. You know, there's two sides to all this. My view on all of it is to just live in the moment and, to appreciate the time that we have here. And whatever happens, happens. You know, if anything really terrible happened, we probably wouldn't feel it much. So there's really no reason, to get all bent out of shape about what ifs, because all this fear and all this anxious energy that people have about what's going to happen, it invites more negativity and it just increases the probability that something bad will happen. So people need to just learn to live in the moment, be positive, and enjoy life for what it is and make it the best that it is, and know that they deserve the best, and stop projecting so much into the future about what ifs, because, you know, people need to learn to accept what they can't control, and that's pretty much most everything.
That's true. I think when you finally get to that space where you know that you have no control over it, then you'll just realize that you'll keep yourself in the now. You'll stop trying to control, and it'll be fine. I don't know how to deal with this. Like, cause sometimes I say, I used to be a control freak, and I realized one day it's kind of like being an alcoholic or a drug addict. You never were or used to be. You are. But it's the way you manage it and control your own needs to control.
Right. It can control your own needs to control. And it's not about what you think or what you feel. It's about acknowledging you know, the feelings and the thoughts that you have and saying, okay, I'm feeling this right now and I'm going to, you know, embrace this feeling and this thought for what it is right now. And I'm going to control, what I'm going to control is my response to this feeling and my response to this thought. You know, people say like, that it's bad to be angry. No, it's not bad to be angry. Everybody gets angry. But what you do is you say, okay, I'm angry right now. And this is the reason why I'm angry. And this is how I'm going to respond to this anger. And exactly. It's all about how you respond to the anger that makes you who you are. You know, if you respond by banging your head against the wall, you know, and doing something really bad or spiteful or posting something nasty to somebody or sending a mean text, you know, that puts out negative energy. But if you, you know, learn to breathe and meditate, take a couple of deep breaths, think about your response and figure out a way to make something positive come of it, you know, that's when we start to heal, like I was talking about, heal the world and heal the negative happenings and negative energy. So,
right. Yeah.
No, it sounds overly idealistic, but it's good practices.
Makes
your life a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean it's on the right path, because what always cracked me up was people think, you know, oh, you do Reiki and you're spiritual, then you should never get angry, you should never curse, you should never this. Oh no, the minute I became a Reiki practitioner, I became unhuman. It was like, and I have a friend of mine who's a psychic and says, you know what? And that's how we became friends, because it was like, I'm a psychic and I curse and I get mad and I'm disappointed and I have emotions and I like to eat chocolate and all this other stuff. And I just am, see, this is why I love you, because you are real. I don't know why people think that people who do spiritual work or who do healing work, you know, need to all walk around with these light voices and never get angry and never show a negative emotion and everything is just, whee, nirvana, I live in nirvana. And I'm extra special because of that. You're kind of getting me.
What happens to these people is their chakras stop spinning, and I can see it because my gift is extremely visual, and so I'm able to, it's a gift and a curse, I guess, because I see some very disturbing things with my eyes. I don't even know why my eyes are like they are. That's another story. But, you know, I can see that people's chakras literally stop spinning. So a chakra is supposed to be a balanced energy center of incoming and outgoing energy. So, for example,
right.
The heart is a really good example. You know, you're supposed to accept love in and give love out. So if you're only giving love out, you know, the incoming love that you've received ever, it becomes stale and stagnant. And when you have a stale and stagnant energy, you know, center, it, the spinning stops, and that's when you know your chakras become imbalanced and out of alignment, and eventually, and this is what I deal with, it manifests as a physical illness. You know, as an imbalanced energy center always manifests eventually as a physical illness. So that's why Reiki is so cool, because you know, by keeping the energy centers of the body and the chakras in balance and in alignment, you prevent you know, your energy imbalances from manifesting as physical illnesses. So, you know, people who hold all these things in, you know, they want to curse, but they can't, you know, imbalanced throat chakra, right?
Right.
All it's the same thing, you know, I'm not scared of anything. I don't have any anger. Well, you know, imbalanced heart chakra. You know, I can keep going all the way down the body if you want to, but, you know how this works.
Well,
so
I have to say this. I have someone who came to me, and the first time she came for Reiki, and I did a chakra balancing on her, the big deal was the throat chakra, and then the sacral chakra, and the root. Was it? No. It was the throat, the solar, the sacral. Okay. So I cleared those up before she left. I also made her a bracelet with gemstones relative, because the throat chakra cleared very quickly and nicely. The sacral and the solar were giving me a little bit of a fight, and it was like, I didn't want this session to take like forever. So we got it to a point where it was okay, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to make it this bracelet, and it had the gemstones corresponding to solar and sacral. Went off with the bracelet. She loved it. She felt good while she was wearing it. Came back for a follow-up session a month later. And where did I find issues again? The throat, the sacral, the solar. And I know this woman's got a lot of fear. She's not owning her own power. She's not speaking up. She's repressing a lot. And she's just not owning her stuff, and she makes excuses for everything. And it's like, okay, I'm clearing your stuff here, but if you don't cooperate and attempt to change the areas in your life that are messing up your chakras and your energy, they're just going to keep playing this game over and over again, month after month after month. So
it's true.
You know, what are you doing when these problems present and you try and tell the person, yeah, you know, this is what you need. These are the areas you need to work on. And then they don't work on them.
Healing is a collaborative process. I tell people when they first call, you can lay down on your back and receive, but if you don't do your part, I tell people, and I know this is a stretch, but I can literally remove. I mean, I've removed cancers. I've removed. I affect people's blood work, gene structures. I mean, I've in vitro, unborn children. I've done so many. I've even done a root canal, a distance root canal, and there's a testimonial
wow.
about that on my website. But it doesn't matter how many times I heal something. If you don't protect yourself and accept it in the physical realm, then the problem will continue to persist. Because what happens is, you know, we heal in the energetic and the multidimensional realm, and then it manifests physically because of the person's expectation of themselves to heal. But then it's easy for them to welcome that sickness back by reverting to old habits. So it's important
exactly.
to heal. You know, it's important to heal from every angle if you
exactly.
want the results to be long term.
It's the same thing like people who come to a healer or a healing practitioner with expectations like, okay, all I got to do is lay there, they'll work on me, I'll be fine. You know, that's a Western mentality, kind of. I go to the doctor, he'll give me a pill, I'll be fine. We all have to own our own healing and do what we need to do to help facilitate that healing. Because if we don't, no healing will occur. And then they blame it on the practitioner or they blame it on the doctor. But if you approach your own healing with a closed mind or with the mindset, like you just said, well, somebody else is going to do this for me, it doesn't work.
Well, you know, but there's also a certain amount of trust and faith that has to be put in the healer, too. So,
right.
you know, when you work with people that are like, this is BS or it's not going to work, it does make it, it's not impossible to work with those types of people, but it does make it a lot more difficult because we are working on a spiritual and energy realm here.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and I do believe that the body and all of its organs and working and moving parts are holograms. So, you know,
right.
I manipulate the way that the holograms are projected into the multiverse, and those energetic manipulations are very simple for me to make. What's not simple is the continued manifestation of these changes in the physical realm, and that's what where people's individual contribution and belief system comes into play.
Right.
more than anything.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time here. Actually, we've ran out of time. I always tack on a little extra because I don't like them to shut me down if I haven't said goodbye and thanked my guests properly. But this is a great show. Very interesting. I know this show can go on for another 2 hours. But what I'll do is I will have you back again, and I thank you so much, Tracy, for coming on the show and talking with me. Folks, it's Zetaline Healing, ZETALINE.com, and her name is Tracy Lee. And Tracy, give us the number again for your business.
You got it. It's 512-900-5818. So it's 512-900-5818.
Where are you located?
I'm physically located in Austin, Texas, but
okay.
You know, I'm a bit of a night owl because I have clients all around the world. So, you know, we Skype, text, email, and whatnot. You know, I could be anywhere in the world in 3.3 seconds. I just have to put on my astral space suit.
Beam her up when you need her. Okay, and if anybody didn't get it or you want, you know, call me. I'll get you to Tracy, whatever. But all right. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you again and having you on again. Have a great
day. Yeah, anytime.
All right.
Yeah, you too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. Be good.
Thank
Talk
you.
To you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you back here on Violet Reiki Radio next Thursday. Thank you. Mm-hmm.